Shalom, Stefan here, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the first high day, and the message today is just about the commandments, so it's not really related to the feast specifically. However, you may enjoy it. There may be a blind person or a shut-in who would enjoy listening to the message today here from Unleavened Bread, from the YahvehYahweh.name. I'm sitting on the back porch here, as it were, on the beautiful McKenzie River with the green rapids flowing by, and it's just an awesome spot. Just really, really enjoy the sunshine and the fresh air, and that we're so blessed to be able to have this. For the shut-in with Yah in a secret place, there in the spirit, beholding His face, finding more power than I'd ever face, how I long to be shut in with Yah. Now, I'm an article here of what is sin. Well, we know from 1 John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 5 what sin is there. Sin is the transgression of the law, of the Torah. And it says, what is love in 1 John 5? We love Him if we keep His commandments. What is love? Love is the keeping of the commandments, and they are not burdensome. The commandments were given for our good, to protect her from harm and sorrow. This fundamental spiritual Torah reveals the right and true way of life, the only way to happiness, joy, and peace. With the violation of any one of the commandments, it can bring eternal death if they're unrepented of. One suffers in this physical life is commensurate with the number of commands he violates. What one suffers in this physical life is commensurate with the number of commands he violates, or it's equal to the number of commands that we violate as a general rule if we deliberately break His commandments. That is, if it's an inadvertent or a sin of ignorance, well, that could be something else. One who breaks one command will suffer less than one who breaks more of them, or who breaks all of them deliberately. One who breaks two or three will experience less sadness and sorrow than the one who breaks nine or ten, as a general rule. And this is because the commandments are an inexorable spiritual Torah or law, which exacts an automatic penalty when violated. One who fears Yahweh, who loves Yahweh, the Father and the Son, and keeps His commandments, will receive blessings instead of curses, over and over and over. It's written there in the Word, and the most famous place is Deuteronomy 28, 2-8, the whole chapter, blessings and curses, and also chapter 32. One who refuses to obey will receive curses instead of blessings. Yahweh does not need to directly punish men for their sins. Violation of the Ten Commandments or any of the law exacts an automatic penalty. It's not some ogre up there, some old grandfather looking down, seeing if he can catch somebody in violating his law. And, oh, there, I caught him this time. Ha, fair and square. Now I'm going to throw the book at him. No, that's the wrong concept. That's not a scriptural healthy concept of who our Father, the Father of love, is. Yahweh the Father, Yahusha the Son. Yahusha the Messiah. Commandments are a safeguard for those who are willing to heed them. And the commandments provide the only possible way to happiness, peace, and joy. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. It makes the simple wise. The statutes of Yahweh are right. They bring rejoicing to the heart. They are indeed pure, giving enlightenment to the eyes. One would not be exaggerating to say that all the sorrow that exists in the world today is because men, as a whole, refuse to pay attention to what is said in Psalm 19. And in the Word. And I could quote Psalm 19 for you. Thinking of the evil that is multiplying upon the earth, men will wax evil, gross evil, into deeper abominations as we continue in through our lives and through the history of the world. However, there's the sheep. There seems to be more sheep, good sheep out there, who are joining Yahweh's family and being grafted into the good olive tree, who are loving the Messiah to keep his commandments, his statutes, his testimonies, his Torah, yes, the law of love. First law is to love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is to commandments 5 through 10. Second commandment sums that up, to love our neighbor as ourself. And that doesn't mean we go around loving ourselves all the time. And, oh, I'm going to be really pamper my... No. So the Psalm 19, Yahweh's law is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. So that's different interpretations of what the testimony of Yahweh are. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. So the statutes found in Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and so on, even in Genesis, for sure. And the commandments found mainly in Exodus chapter 20, but they're throughout the scriptures. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes, if I skip that one there. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. What are judgments? Well, some of the judgments are these feasts, like we're keeping today, and that you keep seven times a year. The three main pilgrimage feasts: Pesach, that's Passover; Shavuot, or commonly called Pentecost, that falls in the summer; and Sukkot, the end of the year. Those are the three traveling feasts, the Hag, the Chag, Moeds, the feasts that we're to keep. So the judgments are found partly. They're found in Exodus 21, 22, 23. And it actually means privileges. That word judgments seems like some vindictive decision being handed down. That's not as a penalty for sin or something. That's not what that is at all. You know, one of those is, thou shalt not stumble a blind man. How could that be a penalty if we're not supposed to? You mean if I'm not being penalized, I can stumble one? How can I stumble a blind man? In many, many ways. I can deal treacherously, take advantage of his ignorance, of his not being able to see, or somebody who's not able to see mentally or spiritually. They can see with their eyes, but they cannot see with their spirit, with their heart, with their mind, perhaps. And here I am. If I take advantage of them, I'm stumbling a blind person. I don't want to be guilty of stumbling any kind of a blind person. They have a blind spot. So I'll be progressive, and I'm going to take advantage. You better be careful. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is how much? Great reward. Psalm 19. The commandments are truth. We want to walk in sincerity and truth, the Messiah told us. Psalm 119. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 142. You could take any of those verses in Psalm 119. Thou art near. Here's verse 151. Thou art near, O Yahweh, and all the commandments are truth. Thou art near. The commandments reflect Yahweh's true way of life. And I'll reiterate, one would not be exaggerating to say that all of the sorrow that exists in the world today is because men as a whole refuse to pay attention to what is being said in Psalm 19. Well, the benefits of obedience to the law of Yahweh Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law or the Torah of Yahweh or Yahovah. Notice these walk, or halakha, the Hebrew word halakha, these walk, a way of life. It's not just a thing you do or one action, it's a way of life in the law of Yahweh. They do a lot more than profess religion, although James says that pure and undefiled religion is this, keeping oneself undefiled and unspotted from the world. And don't forget about the care and the feeding of orphans and widows. So we've got to live it. We profess, we live it. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Paul said that, taking from Psalm 119, verse 97. I have understanding more than all my teachers. Well, at least the teachers who are not keeping the law. For thy testimonies are my meditation, night and day. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Yahweh gave the Ten Commandments as a standard, not as, you know, some of them are to be kept and others are not, or to be diminished. No, it's one whole law. There's one law for the homeborn, for those who are originally in Messiah, and for those who are grafted in, or for the strangers that become a part of Yahweh's kingdom, who are part of Yisrael, Romans 11. For those who want to argue the point of, is the church Israel? Well, all of the world that keeps Yahweh's commandments are Israel. You say, well, but they're not blood. The argument goes on there. I don't care whether they're blood related or not. Yahweh knows who we are. We're not going to get out of it. Not going to have some sort of a alibi or a little... He knows my heart. That's where the problem is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. So many people today have no sense of direction. They don't know where they're going or where they have been. They don't look back. They don't learn from history. And we repeat our mistakes. And the tune goes on. Life to many is a series of events without purpose or meaning. And this is because the word of Yahweh has not been used as a lamp for our feet and a light for their path. They have no standard. The Evangelifish church has no standard by which to judge actions. And there's no accountability, or very little. Like a ship, neither sail nor rudder, tossed about by the winds at the mercy of the elements. Yahweh's law was set in motion in order to give man direction, purpose to his life. No wonder the psalmist wrote in verse 129 and 130, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 161 and 3-3, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love, the psalmist wrote. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Or, in other words, they shall have no stumbling block. To those who love Yahweh's law, what do life's experiences mean? They mean a sense of purpose, calmness, assurance, confidence, a goal, and that's in spite of what the rest of the world experiences. All the chaos, the confusion, the anxiety, of course, the intensity as they crank up the music, even the classical becomes like everything is death and destruction. That'd be one way for me to describe it, I guess, with my limited vocabulary today. But what is the lot of the sinner, the transgressor of Yahweh's law? Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. In Proverbs 13, evil pursueth sinners. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Isaiah 1, 28, the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. Destruction of the transgressors and sinners will be together, and they that forsake Yahweh shall be consumed. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's right, Stephania, and I just read from Isaiah 13, verse 9. Now we know that Yahweh heareth not sinners. John 9:31. Yahushua the Messiah said that. Some people say Yahshua. We use Yahushua. We spell it that way. So Yahweh's law is the true way to happiness. The only way to being joyful has existed throughout eternity. The immutable and binding law as sure as the nose on our face, as the jaw, and the first human did not evolve by itself and say, well, I'm hungry, and my nerves are telling me, what nerves? I have to evolve some food from the dirt here. Hey, Yahweh said, you get your own dirt if you want to try to create something. You get your own dirt. Rookie there. Romans chapter 5. For until the law, or the codified law given at Mount Sinai, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Paul tells us in Romans that the law of Yahweh, the Ten Commandments, which defines sin, Romans 7:7, was in effect from Adam to Moses. Well, it's always been in effect. Sure as the air we breathe, who created this air around us? Who made that river over there with the gondolas or the rafts coming down there? And the humans with their complex energy source there, their minds and all. Who made all that? Who made the smoke from the campfire and those kosher hot dogs? The codified law of Moses was added to this, but had no effect in either strengthening or nullifying it. And I have a study about the added law. You can see Jeremiah 7:17 and Jeremiah 7:17 and Ezekiel 20:25. The added law talks about the death penalty, and the slaughter offerings for sin. Slaughter offerings for sin. Slaughter offerings or killing an animal was good to offer it to our Heavenly Father and to His Son, but did not take away our sins. It was a praise offering when they were good slaughter offerings. How immutable is the law? Psalm 111. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Yes, Messiah Yahushua said, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. But of course, heaven and earth, the Protestants claim that the law is done away with. So heaven and earth have passed away, right? Okay, I'm gonna withhold that laugh there. The transgression of this marvelous law that has led to so much unhappiness, poverty, misery, abominations, anguish, and woe. Men as a whole do not understand. That's why we are told in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Once again in Psalm 119, verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all commandments. And one of the biggest statutes is idolatry that is broken Another is about divorce and remarrying, lying with our brother's wife, and third wife, and fourth, and fifth, and ninth, and tenth, and Elizabeth, and Taylor, Richard Burton. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now everybody gets afflicted in one way or another. You know, you drive down the road and something happens. You know, the fender falls off your car just by... Well, you know, stuff happens all the time, but no, we're not talking about that kind of coincidental routine stuff that happens all the time. My shoe's wearing out, or my foot hurts, or foot smells, or something. Or a bee stung me. You know, snake darted out in front of me. Yeah, that's not a spiritual affliction. We're being afflicted spiritually if we're keeping Yahweh's law, and then somebody trips us for doing it. You know, somebody snares us in some way, or takes advantage, or takes away our employment, or takes away our food, takes away our house, burns them down and all that. But don't you go being fatalistic that all this is going to happen. Heads are not going to roll quite yet. Well, one of the speakers predicted that using the scriptures and the idea of the seventh millennial rest year is coming someday soon. And that speaker thought it was somewhere around 2029, and I might agree, but even if he is wrong, even if we are wrong about these years, yeah, we're going to be gone anyway. We get too old sooner or later, and we just fall apart. And I couldn't tell you too much about that. Or I couldn't tell you enough that I was falling apart. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Verse 67, 71, and 80. And that was Psalm 119. What's the result of sin? Proverbs 5. His own iniquities shall take the wicked, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Let us remember an admonition from Galatians chapter 6. You know, we can use Galatians to do away with, I guess we could do away with about anything, because it's all about circumcision and the law of sin and death there. But in Galatians chapter 6, the admonition, be not deceived, Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life, or life everlasting. The way of the transgressor is hard. The sin is the transgression of the law. The law is spiritual, perfect, pure, separate, kodesh, just, good, summed up in the word love. Not what the rock singers, what their interpretation of the word love, but, or Hollywood, or even maybe a Protestant preacher. It involves the two great principles of love to Yahweh, love to neighbor, and the commandments compose the 10 points of that law, and that the breaking of only one point makes one guilty of sinning. Only one. And according to the book of James, which I hear this rumor that that Luther did not believe in the book of James, I'd have to doubt some of that. He'd have to agree with it. James says that breaking one of the commandments, it's just like breaking them all. If you break the first three, you can't keep the fourth commandment of the Sabbath, because you're worshiping on the Sabbath day, but you're worshiping somebody else. You're worshiping an idol if you're not keeping the first three commandments. I am Yahweh, he says. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Exodus chapter 20. So the fundamental spiritual law that we have there in the scriptures. It's the only true and right way of life, the only possible way of joyfulness, peace, has existed from Adam and immutable and binding throughout eternity. That all the unhappiness, misery, poverty, anguish, and woe has come from its transgression. And it goes way back. I wanted to kind of summarize where the law originated at the end of this broadcast. Perhaps some of you are, waiting, like one man said, do I have to wade through this complete MP3 to hear this one point that you're probably way off on anyway? Well, it sounds like this man is really a spiritual giant, doesn't he? Well, take a look at that traffic out there. Oh, it's disgusting, isn't it? It's hard to just kind of find a place in society to relax and have shalom. But the first commandment, thou shalt have no other Elohim, or no Elohim before me, Exodus 20. But in Joshua 24, it goes way back, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. They served Elohim. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nachor, and they served other Elohim. Now therefore fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the Elohim which your father served on the other side of the flood. See, the flood was before Exodus 20, before the giving of the law. And in Egypt, Mitzrayim, serve ye Yahweh. We see the act of idolatry was regarded as wrong long before the time of Moses. Exodus 20, verse 4, the second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And there's more to it than that, but Jacob said unto his household in Genesis 35 to all that were with him, Genesis 35, put away the Elohim from among you and be clean. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange Elohim in their land and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Yaakov or Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Idolatry was an offense against Yahweh even in the days of Jacob, long before Sinai. The third commandment states, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. And there's a lot of ways of taking his name in vain. It's not just cussing. Leviticus 18:3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, whereby you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances, neither shall you profane the name of Yahweh. Whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. The doings of the land of Egypt included taking the name of Yahweh in vain, and it's considered an abomination. The fourth commandment, we covered that briefly, the Sabbath day. In Genesis chapter 2, the Sabbath was instituted when man was created. In Exodus 16, a man was stoned to death for carrying logs on the Sabbath, for doing some logging. Exodus 16:4, the violation before the law was given on Mount Sinai, before it was codified. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. Genesis 9, Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done what he had done unto me. He said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of his servants shall be unto him his brethren. Canaan cursed for some illicit act against Noah, a form of dishonor to say the least. That was the fifth commandment in Genesis 9. And somebody could say, well, that was pretty close to the time of Moses. No, it was way longer before Exodus 20. And Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone from Mount Sinai. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Genesis 4:8, when Cain killed Abel, his brother. Murder was condemned as early as the time of Adam, in Genesis chapter 4. Seventh commandment, Genesis 39. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Yahweh? Joseph said to his employer's wife, who wanted him to lie with him, and he refused. clearly adultery was a sin back in Genesis 39, long before Moses. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, in Genesis 30, Jacob's bargaining with his father-in-law, Laban. And the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lying was a sin before the time of Moses. The incident of Abraham and Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Here we are in Genesis 20. Genesis chapter 20, or Bereshit 20. Abraham said of Sarah, she's my sister. Well, in a way, a wife could be considered your spiritual sister, but he lied to Abimelech. Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Yahweh came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, to this sort of a pagan king here, Abimelech, behold, thou art a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Sarah is a man's wife, Abraham's wife. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Would you hear an employer today, a pagan or Christian employer, say something like that? You brought on my business and on my family a great sin? If that was just adultery going on, and adultery is so common now, of course, but not with me, not with any of the believers I know that have repented. If they ever have done it, they repented. So there needs not to be any divorce there after all, because there is repentance involved and restoration. Apologies were made. But Abimelech said, what have I offended thee that thou, what, or it should be, what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Genesis 20. Then, of course, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, anything that is thy neighbor's, in Exodus 20. So, it's a heinous crime. What about coveting? The most ancient, complete book of the Scripture is the book of Job, or Eov. In Eov, we read in chapter 31, if my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I had laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime. Heinous, that's a terrible crime there. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. If I have made gold my hope, gold, G-O-L-D, or have I said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence? If I rejoice because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied Yahweh that is above. Job 31. Coveting was a sin way back in Job's time, before Moses, before Exodus 20. Of course, your scripture is arranged differently. Job is later on there in scripture, the way that these Protestant Bibles are assembled, for some purpose or another, but coveting was a sin from the earliest time. And we know that in the book of James, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, if you're partial to this one person, this rich person, or this poor guy, or because he has a certain race, he's from Mexico, or because he's then I will favor him, but if he's from Jerusalem, then I will disfavor him. That's committing sin, and you are convinced of the law as transgressors. Oh, yes, we have many Hispanic-speaking people. I appreciate you very much, and you know what the law says, and you know what love is, too. So, we're guilty of all, James says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, and also said, do not murder. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou murder, thou art become a transgressor of the law. By the way, I'm not using the word kill there, because if you step on an ant, that would be killing an ant, which would be, if that were wrong, then, you'd be guilty. But it's murdering, it's malicious intent of a direction. I decide that I want to kill somebody for some motive. So the law is the commandments, which Messiah summarized by the two basic principles, love towards Yahweh, love toward one's fellow man. In Matthew 22, it's the commandments that contain the prohibition against all these things, against murder and adultery. And Paul said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yahweh forbid. No, I had not known sin. The law defines sin. But by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, some people claim that just knowing the law, then, that causes you to sin. I don't know if Paul is saying that. I don't think so. In some situations, if somebody forbids me to do something, I might be tempted to do it because they told me not to. That's true, but anyway, the law is a standard. Let's not try to blame the law on all of our sinful nature and say, well, if it weren't for the law, then I wouldn't have such a tendency to want to break it. Well, if there were no law, how could you break it? Oh, I don't know. There's so many fallacious, crazy arguments out there that I just don't want to contend with that anymore. If people don't want to get into truth, then they don't want to come to the river of life. They don't want to give their souls, their life, which includes their vacation life as well. So thank you for joining me here on YahvehYahweh.name. And the time of this broadcast has probably been around 40 minutes. All the other feasts might pale in comparison to Pesach, to the Feast of Unleavened Bread Passover. Here we are at YahvehYahweh.name, and I'm Stefan Young. And I'd like to read the words to a song. There is a river that flows from deep within. We're talking about the river of life. Yahusha gives us the healing waters, flows, and the blood that he shed for our sins. Isaiah 53. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that cleanses from all sin. Come to the waters. There is a vast supply. Come to the river that never shall run dry. Shalom.